Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen. On today's episode, I am speaking with Julie. She is a mindfulness and business coach for introverted entrepreneurs. We talked about the power of mindfulness, why introverts love to overprepare, and what she is proudest of. Check it out. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Me too. And the listeners didn't hear our previous conversation, but we just discovered that we live about 20 minutes away or 30 minutes away from each other.
Seriously. And I'm like, I follow you on Instagram. How come I didn't know this?
I got to do a better job in talking about how we're Canadian.
Right? But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
So how would you describe young Julie?
Ooh, young Julie. Young Julie was an only child, and I feel like I always enjoyed that. Sometimes I feel bad because I have two kids, and sometimes, you know, with the pandemic or it's raining, they're often together. And I think I was really lucky to have some space and be by myself. I always really loved it. I was very, my imagination was always going. I was always creating something. In high school, I feel like I was a little, not a social butterfly, but I tend to be by myself and have a couple of people around me that were my good friends. But I love, you know, how there's cliques, right? Mm-hmm. In high school, there's like the really smart kids, and then there's the sporty kids, and then there was like the grungy kids. And I was always interested in knowing everybody, but always one-on-one. Like I always had lots of friends in different groups. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was mostly the one-on-one conversations that I really loved. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But I was always very quiet.
Okay. Okay. Did you always know you were an introvert?
I think, you know, that's a great question, Cindy, because a lot of people have asked me, and I was like, no, I really committed myself to calling myself an introvert a couple years ago. But I think I knew deep down inside, but I didn't embrace it for until I was in my early 40s. So just a couple of years ago, actually. So I think I always knew deep down. But I also, like everybody else out there, seems to have a big misconception about what introverts are. So I think I was like that. I was like, no, I'm not shy because it depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm not an introvert, or I never really took any personality test or anything like that. But now I'm fully claiming and being proud of being an introvert for sure.
And I love how there's more awareness about it. So it's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And especially how we met too on Instagram, right? Like there's such a beautiful community.
There really is. And I was so shocked. I'm like, I love this.
And everybody's so kind.
Yeah.
Everybody's so kind and patient and thoughtful.
And so awkward together.
Yeah. It is sort of nice though, if you get together and you have a moment of silence, you're like, the other person gets me. It's not uncomfortable.
Right. Yes. It's very true. I love it.
Yeah.
So you are a business and mindfulness coach. What led you to coaching?
What led me to coaching? I had a previous business before. I was teaching French, actually. Oh. It was called The French Effect.
Okay.
And at that time, I started being really curious about mindfulness just for my personal life. And I started exploring it. And then I thought it really impacted me on a deep level as a business owner. So I was becoming more confident. I was, increasing or sharing my prices more comfortably. I was more comfortable meeting new groups of people as well. And so I had all these sort of transformations, and I thought, if I can have that, most likely I can apply this to French. So I was actually teaching French and then infusing some mindfulness in there. Mm. So with the kids and the adults. Mm-hmm. And so it, I could see the transformation. Like the kids would be more confident in reading. They'd be more confident in speaking too. We'd use it for like to do art, and we'd talk French. And I used to do these meditations for my clients as well. Mm-hmm. So I had this one, like an example, this one specific lady, she had a job interview to do in French. And so we did a meditation and we did a visualization, and I did it in French and in English. And she did that for, I think, 30 days. And then she, you know, she passed her test and she was like, wow, this really works. And so, yeah. So then I started to see transformation in other people. So I thought, you know, and I love talking about business and I love talking about mindfulness. So I combined the two together and I got my coaching certificate, and I love it so much.
Mm, that's awesome. I know there's like, the term mindfulness is like thrown a lot these days. How important do you think it is now, especially with COVID?
Yes. Yes. Such a great question. I think there's more focus on it because it is the basis of everything that I do and how I show up. And I always think it's so important because for me, especially, and the work that I do with my client is it just changes your mindset, because everything that is happening in the world around us, any kind of exterior perceptions that you have, are all coming from your own past experience and your own situations. Mm-hmm. And so what you're seeing is not really what it is. So, you know, introverts, we're a lot in our heads. So I feel like the mindfulness sort of brings you back to your self-awareness, your confidence, your self-doubt goes down. So you're actually able to perceive things in a very clear way. Mm. And it's only when you tap into yourself that you can find all those things. We have such a wealth of knowledge inside of us that we're not tapping into, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes and I'm a recovering people pleaser. So that was, mindfulness really helped me with that, because I was always going outside of myself and looking for external validation all the time. And if we're living off that, it's a quick ending destination. Mm-hmm. Because we're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Very true. And mindfulness has really helped me too. I sort of grew up, I didn't have a big family. My mom passed away really early on. So I always felt very alone. Mm. And mindfulness has really helped me to know that I'm connected to something bigger than myself, that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. Like I went through really dark times, suicidal thoughts and everything. And I always just felt alone. Even when I had my kids, I just felt like I was alone all the time. So mm-hmm. mindfulness really made me sort of connect to myself and something more.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. I think,
I like
the word mindfulness. I'm like, yes, I'm all about it. And then I'm like, wait a second, how am I practicing mindfulness every day? I'm like, I think I need to dig deep into this.
Yes. And sometimes mindfulness is also like the word introversion, right? Like
right?
So many people come to me and they say, okay, Julie, I see that you're showing up and like, I want to do what you're doing, but I've tried meditation and it doesn't work. But mindfulness is just so much more than meditation. Or mm-hmm. they think they have to sit in meditation for an hour a day.
Right.
But there's so many things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And I teach mindfulness to busy entrepreneurs. So there's definitely a way to infuse that in your day without having it overwhelm you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So introverts, they love to overprepare. And how can they learn to just go with the flow?
Yes. In all honesty, I was starting to overprepare for this interview before, and I had to talk to myself and I had to say, Julie, stop.
Yep.
Because, and I love also that everything that we're doing in our business or everything that we're doing in life, we need it ourselves, right? Where we're
Absolutely.
Teaching someone else. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I stopped and I was like, Julie, okay, why are we overpreparing? Because oftentimes we overprepare because we oftentimes have a fear of looking silly or looking not intelligent. Or so that would be my first tip, is that look for sort of fears that trigger you. And that comes often from perfectionism. I'm also, on top of being a recovering people pleaser, a recovering perfectionist. And so, you know, I want everything to go smoothly and everything to be perfect, but I'm hiding from the fear of looking like an imbecile, or, you know, forgetting my words, or, you know, so forgetting my story. So look at sort of what triggers you. And I would say second thing is trusting yourself, because again, when I was starting to write these notes for this interview, if you're asking me a question that's not, let's say, in here, or there's a different answer that comes up for me, if I have my notes, I'm going to rely on that. Mm-hmm. But if I just tap into myself and really listen to the question, I might give you so much of a better answer that comes from my heart.
Right.
So.
That's so true.
Yeah. And sometimes we forget that we know so much. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we try to say something, you know, take someone else's answer that we heard before, that we were inspired by, and say it in their own words. But really, if we just use our own words and it comes out the way it comes out, that we trust ourselves that is the right answer in that right moment that mm-hmm. someone else needs to hear.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. And then I guess the third point I would say is to practice, like whatever you're doing. Usually we get very fearful if we're going to talk to other people, or we're going to talk to a specific topic, or especially if introverts are, I don't know, giving a presentation or a workshop, or even coming on a podcast. Just practice intentionally. Like, we have sometimes we practice often the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you'll practice your whole presentation, then you'll practice it again. But practicing intentionally is taking sort of little parts in your speaking to really sort of perfect it. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like you say a lot of ahs and ums and you want to cut that out? Well, practice with only intentionally cutting those things out. Mm-hmm. Then practice again saying your story with maybe with different types of pauses or different types of intonations. And so, yeah. So when I say intentionally, just take bite-sized pieces and sort of break it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's important. And I think sometimes, like, when you're going into a work meeting and you're thrown a question that you weren't prepared, I think it's okay to say, you know what? I don't know. Let me get back to you.
That is so powerful.
Yes.
But, and if you're, go ahead, Cindy.
No, I was going to say it. And you feel all flustered and you feel like you have to come up with something. It's like, how come I didn't know this? And it's like, you know what? It's okay. I don't know. Let me get back to you. I'll email you. That's it.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true. Why do we feel like we have to know everything? I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I shared the other day that when I was teaching French, I got started because people were wanting to learn French. And so I didn't really know, you know, you speak French. So sometimes you just know things that you know, but right. someone will ask you, like, why is this conjugated that way? Or why do we say it that way? And I wanted to save face so much that I actually lied, or I made things up. Isn't that terrible? Because I was like, I'm supposed to know everything.
Right.
But you're right. There's such power in, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so much more respectable.
Right. Yeah, it's very true. Have you ever felt like your introversion was viewed as a weakness?
Yes, probably for most of my life. Yes.
Really?
Because I think that as a society, we have a very distorted view of those soft skills that we have, the being compassionate, being a good listener, being sympathetic. I feel like now they're being viewed as something that you need as a leader, as an entrepreneur. But before, you know, when, let's say in school, and I see it with my own kids as well, is, you know, speak louder, speak up. Mm-hmm. We're always focused on, you know, being so visible and out there and loud. but there's such power in those beautiful soft skills. And I don't know if you know, Cindy, but I fly with Air Canada also, and I'm not flying right now, mm-hmm. but I went from being a flight attendant to being a service director, which is the lead flight attendant on board. And so I had a team, and we had to, before every flight, we have to give a briefing. And I didn't think that I could tap into those kind, soft skills that I had that made me who I was. So I try to be someone that I wasn't, mm-hmm. and then I never led before. So I thought I had to be on top of people. And anyways, it was really uncomfortable. And when I started having more compassion, let's say from someone who was being late, and you never know where people come from, what they've right. been through in the morning. And so using what I really know to be true, and, you know, being a people person in a very quiet way and not being overly meticulous and checking their work and see if they're doing everything. Mm-hmm. Made me feel like, you know, people were giving comments back about, wow, you know, you're such a great leader. You're not breathing down my throat. And like, and that actually empowered them more. And then they mm-hmm. wanted to do more things and be more productive. And I was like, right. okay, so I had to listen to myself, like, mm-hmm. this is the type of leader I am. And so, but I, for a long time, I did think it was a weakness, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel sometimes, like you said, when you're young, people are always like, speak up, you know, or speak louder. And it's like, you know what? I don't really need to. I can say my point across without, you know, shouting, or like, people will hear me and they will hear what I have to say. So.
Yeah. That's right. And if anything, everybody needs to quiet down and listen more to me.
Yeah. Right? Yes, I love that.
But I would keep that internal. I would never say that out loud.
Of course. So there's a quote that I love. Quiet people have the loudest mind. And it's Stephen Hawking, who was like an English physicist. Can you relate to that statement?
Oh, yes. This is so true. Wouldn't you say this is like all of our minds?
Pretty just much.
So much going on. It's like a circus in there.
Yes. Yes.
And then on the outside, we're just calm, mm-hmm. cool, and collected.
There's a storm inside, but no one will ever know.
Yes. I love that. A storm. It's so true.
Yeah.
I have a membership for introverted entrepreneurs, and every month we have someone who comes in, and they're usually introverts, so they know everybody's personality type and they can understand. But we had someone come in who wasn't, and they were really perplexed by they gave a talk, and then they were asking for questions. And, you know, introverts, there needs to be some silence, they need to think. And she was messaging me in the chat, you know, like, is everybody okay? Was my talk really boring? But she's the only person that said that, because everybody else that came in the membership understands that you say something and then we need some time to reflect. We need to structure a proper, thoughtful, meaningful question together. So that takes time. So there's some awkward silence there. Well, she felt it was awkward. But yeah. Because we have all these things going on. What right. if this? What if that? I could ask like this. Do I have the proper words? Do mm-hmm. And then sometimes we have that also, that that face of being uninterested, like, you know, on Zoom.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've had people comment like, Julie, you seem really disinterested. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm loving this actually. And they're really confused. I'm like, I'm just reflecting and I'm taking it all in. Yeah. I'm super interested.
Yes, I get that all the time. And I feel with Zoom, I think there's an added pressure because you know that everybody is watching you if you have your camera on. Yes. So you're trying to have like this face, this interested face. And then you're like, oh, I'm smiling all the time, but my face hurts now.
Yeah.
So how do I look interested without smiling all the time? So I'm like, you know what? Forget it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, in the membership, everybody can be themselves, which is great. So everybody looks disinterested and we all know that we're very interested.
I love that. So what are you proudest of?
Oh, I saw that question and I was like, Should I say my kids? No, I'm not going to say my kids, although I am proud of them. Mm-hmm. But they're their own people. So they could become whatever they want to. But I think it's always my curiosity to learn, to grow. I'm really into personal growth and spiritual growth. And I think that, you know, everybody has stuff, everybody has challenges, everybody has traumas, and that can really sort of keep you down for a long time. And rising above and working on yourself is just such a journey. And so, yeah, finding the courage and the resiliency to turn the hard stuff into a beautiful learning experience or a life lesson, mm-hmm. for sure. Because it's easy to stay down.
Yes.
And give up.
Yes, it's true. And this morning, a friend of mine sent me this little meme about this, it's this man and he's punching down something and it's his positive thoughts and he's just punching down the negative thoughts. And I love that. I'm like, this should be how we deal with like everyday things every day. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, you know, we can't do that. But I'm like, I love that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we love to validate our negative stuff, right? Like, yes. Sometimes it's, sometimes you want to victimize yourself. And I think that's okay to a certain point. Mm-hmm. But then turning it around and seeing it differently or having a different perspective. And again, to bring it to mindfulness again, that really helps you, really helps people to see that in a different light.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Julie, this was fun. It was lovely chatting with you. I think I learned so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I love being here.
Yeah. I'll have to have you back sometime.
Absolutely. Yes. We have because we have so many thoughts in our head, we could talk about a lot of things.
Absolutely. That was such a great conversation I had with Julie, and I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.